Again, that's Acts 16, and meet me at verse 23. Amen. And I'll try to do some expository preaching, although we'll be focusing on a couple of things. Amen. I'll try to go through the chapter and expedite some things to you. And I don't talk over nobody's head. I plan on talking to you. Amen. 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 And not through you. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in the prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, otherwise known as the hole, and made their feet fast in the stocks. But at midnight, amen, look to your name and say, at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the prison, amen, the doors were opened, and everyone's bands in the prison were loose. You may sit down in his presence, amen, amen. But if you have somebody near you, just look to him and say, amen. When we open up our mouths, amen. Look to your neighbor and say, when I open up my mouth, amen. Amen. When we open up our mouths, amen, amen. Father God, this task is bigger than me, but there's nothing bigger than you. I can't do this by myself, but your word records that I can do all things through you because you strengthen me. I need you, Lord God. I can't do this by myself. Your people await, and they are what's most important for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. When we open up our mouths, I grew up poor, and I don't know if I'm talking to the bougie bunch today. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's levels of poor.
Amen.
My mother's from Selma, Alabama. Amen. And I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio / LA, so I had a Selma experience in Cleveland, Ohio. So being poor, there's levels to this. There's poor, there's poverty. There's Poe. You know what Poe is, right? All right. And then there's us. But see, growing up poor, y'all following me here. Growing up poor, it teaches you one or two things. It teaches you how to be better, or it teaches you how to be bitter.
Right.
And see, one thing that I learned, right, by growing up that way is you learn how to appreciate stuff.
Right.
Because you recognize that ain't nobody gonna give you nothing.
Right.
And anything in this life that you're gonna get, you're gonna have to get it by your own gains. Amen. Am I talking to a few people here?
Right.
I remember the government cheese. Anybody remember the government cheese? I'm saying government. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But that's some of the best cheese you ever have in your life. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. That cheese lay in the bread so delicately, just lay there in that bread.
Right.
Anybody remember sugar water or sugar sandwiches and man-made sandwiches? Okay, it's the right crowd here. Sugar water. And that's the one thing that's great about our people, because we find a way to make it work. Even the concept of soul food. Are the scraps that the master gave away.
Right.
Are y'all following me?
Yes.
Right. And now it's a delicacy.
Right.
Where even the master wants to go back and get the food.
Right.
Y'all are following me here.
Right.
Amy Roofs or whatever got a line, and people who look like us is not always in that line. Y'all following me here? I'm trying to speak. God bless everybody. And so growing up this way, I remember going to, we used to call it the welfare office. I don't know if y'all call it that way here, but we call it the welfare office. So we get to the welfare office one day, and I remember my mother taking all three of us, all two of them, but they're the two of my brothers. And as we're standing there, some of the rudest people are in places like this.
Amen.
You ever go somewhere and spend your money? And the person treats you like you're asking them for their food?
Right.
I'm already preaching, by the way.
Come on.
All right, that's okay.
And so, for the life of me, I can't see
how people who are supposed to be nice are the nastiest.
Yeah. Right.
So as we stand in this line, my mother got all three of her boys, went to the thrift store, and my mother believed that you should go in any appointment that you're going on in a suit. So my mother had some suits, old school style.
Right.
And so as we stand in this line, waiting to get our bread and our cheese and our food stamps, my mother encounters, I don't even need this no more, my mother encounters one of the rudest people out of the map. And so she's standing there, she's telling my mother that, you know, my mother is not going to be able to get what she needs, and she's going about it in such a nasty way out of my... See, here's the thing. Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Right.
There's so many people, and we have to learn as black and brown people, we got to watch how we talk to one another.
Right.
Mama always taught us that if you don't got nothing nice to say, then don't say nothing at all. Hallelujah, somebody. That's still right. Still right. Because you harm people, and you put people through all types of trauma sometimes based on what you say out of your mouth.
Right. Come on.
And sometimes you make your life hard about what you say out of your mouth.
Yes.
So as I'm standing there with this rude woman getting real rude with my mother, and she told my mother, well, you shouldn't have had all those kids. Now, I know how my mother handles me.
Right.
So I'm sure that my mama handles me in a certain way. I know my mama is the beautiful country Ebony sweetheart is going to handle this lady. Because we was going to get our stamps and go to revivals. That's how my mother did. We was going to get our food stamp, go to revival, and then go to the grove. So we was on our way to revival anyway. So I'm like, my mother's about to put the 1-2 on this lady. Then add the 3-4 and the lady hit the ground. So I'm like, oh, mama, but you know when, it's almost like as a child when you hear something you're not supposed to be hearing. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hey, I remember the first time I snuck and listened to a Richard Pryor album. That's a whole other thing. And you knew you're not supposed to do it. See, Christians, God puts something inside of us, right? And he tells us and lets us know when we're not supposed to be doing stuff. And we have to train ourselves to listen to said voices.
Right.
So now as I'm standing there, and this lady got real rude with my mother turns around, and I'm like, oh, yeah. We getting our food stamps and a tree. And so I'm watching my mother's response, and I'm watching her body language, and then I see my mother's hands go like this. And I'm like, she must be reaching for something in the sky. Mama, what are you reaching for? And then I see the other hand go like this. Well, y'all ain't catching me. And then she leaned her head back. And then I heard, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah, anyhow.
Right.
We have to learn how to praise God in spite of.
Right.
Because it's the in spite of that if we keep praising him, and if we don't give up, and if we keep holding on, God will make a way somehow.
Yes.
Does your God make ways out of no way? Am I in the right building? What are you doing?
Yes.
Over and over again, I know he'll do it. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
So now, my mother just started having church in the middle of the welfare office.
Right.
So I step back, and I'm like, wow. This must be an awesome God that my mother is trying to train us to serve.
Yeah.
Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. Don't leave your children money and cars and think that you've done your job. Leave your children a legacy of the way you're supposed to embrace.
Yeah.
And the way that you're supposed to engage your God. If you do that, I guarantee you, the scripture's right. Your child won't depart from it. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They'll spend some time away, but they'll come back. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving into the scripture actually starts with a vision. Now, vision and sight are two different things.
Right.
I'll explain. When you are able to see something, you're able to recognize what it is by looking at it.
Right.
You see, when God gives you vision is different now, ladies and gentlemen, because only vision can be given to you by God.
Right.
And so you have to be careful with visions, right?
Right.
Because everybody ain't got one.
Right. Say that.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Everybody ain't got none. See, here's the thing. You can be around people that don't have anything, but never be around people that don't want nothing.
Right.
That's the difference. Hallelujah, somebody.
Right.
Hallelujah. You have to want something. You have to want to get somewhere. You have to want to go up higher. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it just boggles the mind how some people just want to be like this love.
Right.
How people just want garbage and how they want to gossip and how they want all of this stuff. If only they knew if they just lifted up their hands and praised God, or if they changed their ways, that they can go up higher too.
Right.
And if all of us are going higher, then there's no need for hate. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. So now, when you have vision, God gives it to you. And he gives it to you for a specific purpose. And there's a difference between dreams and visions, because sometimes people put them together and they're two separate things.
Right.
See, when you are a dreamer, right, you can dream about something that's important to you and that you want. So dreams are singular. But here's the other side of that, right? Visions are not.
Right.
When you visualize and God gives you a vision, it's usually for not only you, but the people around you.
Yes.
I don't want to rewrite what King wrote, but if you go by my little definition, I had a vision, not a dream.
Right.
So now, right, moving into the scripture, right, you get this vision. And you have to be careful with vision because you can't tell everybody your vision.
Right.
And it's because what you'll start to do, if you tell everybody your vision, people will start opening up their mouth and speaking on your vision.
Yeah.
And depending on who the people are, right, they may talk you right out of the vision.
Right.
Because visions are fragile, right? You got to hold on to it. You got to cover it. You got to protect your vision. Because oftentimes what we'll do is, because the vision doesn't come when you want to, you start getting hasty and sharing your vision with other people and having them proofread, and they blind your vision.
Right.
See, blind people are not supposed to proofread your vision.
Right. Come on, Bishop. Right.
Well, I'm working here.
Right.
Blind people are not supposed to proofread your vision. So if they're not saved, hallelujah, they're not praising God, hallelujah, they ain't willing to make the sacrifices that you are, stop telling your vision.
Right.
Because people, when they're not talking to you, they'll talk about you.
Right.
And they'll start to speak, right, and open up portals and doors, right, that you probably don't want open, hallelujah. There is a spirit world, ladies and gentlemen, we discussed. It's just as real as the natural world.
Right.
And what you say activates things in the spirit,
right,
whether good or bad.
Yeah.
So again, watch your mouth.
Yeah.
Watch what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So now, this is interesting. And so as they get this vision, right, the vision is a man telling them to come to them and bring them the word. Now here, now check the story here. Now, when they get the vision, Paul wants to go in a completely different direction. Now, had Paul not listened to the Holy Ghost, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a parakletos, meaning that it's a helper. Hallelujah. But if you don't listen to somebody helping you, pretty soon the person who's helping go back up and go help somebody else. Be very, very careful in how you listen to the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is there for you to listen to him. Comply so that he can guide you. And if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, right, then you don't need to be going anywhere. Don't go anywhere or do anything if you ain't got God's seal of approval. The Holy Ghost is God's seal of approval that your actions and your motives are right. So before you do anything, check in with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Right.
Do I have a few people that checked in with the Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah. Don't you quiet. Hallelujah. Anybody else need the Holy Ghost in their life? Hallelujah. Without the Holy Ghost, you lose your mind. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Ghost, you'd be in a funny house or funny farm without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Ghost, you'd be dead somewhere. Hallelujah. Without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You'd have been gave up without the Holy Ghost. I know you thought it was you, but it was nothing but the grace and the mercy of God that brought you this far. Anybody know about that? Anybody recognize? steps in and says, I want you to go into a new direction. And in this new direction, now, follow this. Nobody's been there before.
Right. Come on, preacher.
What am I saying? Greater terror. God is trying to take you to a place that nobody's been before.
Right.
Yes. Come on. Yes. The only thing he requires you to do is hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give in.
Yes.
Fight the good fight of faith. Because if you do, in the end, you'll win. Hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, victory is ours. It's ours. It's ours if we want it.
All right.
So now.
Fifth word, sir.
Go ahead. So now what happens, right?
Come on, sir.
Is that as he gets this vision.
Yeah.
What happens is that we're often short-sighted our own stuff. Because we don't see nobody doing what we would like to do.
That's right. Come on.
So what we'll start doing is giving up on what God showed us.
Right.
Because ain't nobody in my family did. Hallelujah.
Right. Right.
Yes, hallelujah.
Right.
Because God wants you to do it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Ain't nobody else was able to go this far because he's trying to take you that far. You are the first of the first.
Right.
So now, what happens is that as they get ready to go, instead of going to Asia where they always go, they would only have a few cities. They on a whole other continent where they got a whole other continent.
Right, right.
Don't make permanent decisions off of temporary circumstances.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you can't win it unless you win it. Hallelujah.
Right.
And if you give up, you'll never know how good God was about to deliver you and how great the breakthrough is if you give up now.
Yes.
Mary said a song, I just can't give up now. Don't give up now.
Yes.
And then even after you get through, don't give up again.
Right.
Because somebody's watching you. Hallelujah. I know we think that the stuff that happens to us only happens to us and for us. No.
Right.
Somebody needs to see how they can make it. You're an open epistle. There's a single mother down the street that's trying to watch your stuff to see if she can make it.
Right.
There's somebody just holding on, hallelujah, with their own strength, but they're watching to see how you handle it so they can handle it.
Yes.
Right. So we have much, much, much at stake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, what happens is that they get excited, they get obedient, and they head to Europe. Now, as they head to Europe, that trip is about 5 days. But because they were obedient, the wind actually made them get there in two. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how that's so significant. How that's significant, Doc? Let me tell you why. The Holy Spirit is a symbol for the wind.
Right.
Oh, y'all are catching me. Yes. Come on in here.
Yes.
Come on in here. Right. So in Acts 2, there was a mighty rushing wind that brought the Holy Ghost in a physical form to the disciples, right? So now the same Holy Ghost is actually sending them on their first missionary journey in a whole other continent.
Come on,
what are you saying, Doc? If you don't got the Holy Spirit blowing and pushing you, stop moving.
Say that there.
Oh, honey.
Come on,
please. If you're not sure that God is with you, don't move.
Right.
If you really don't know what to do, don't do nothing at all until God ordains your footsteps. Because the scripture says that the steps of a good man or good woman are ordered. So now, moving forward, so now what happens is that they finally got to Macedonia. And as they got to Macedonia, they start to notice that they're being racially profiled. I'll get to that in a moment.
Right.
So as they're walking through this town, right, they're trying to go have church. Hallelujah. But they notice that there aren't too many Jewish men in this particular town, meaning that there aren't too many synagogues.
Right.
So if they're going to have to go to a synagogue, they're going to have to make one on their own. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. God has been so good to you. You ain't got to be in a church building to praise him. Hallelujah.
Right.
I can bust down some praise on the two train. Hallelujah. I can praise him at work. Hallelujah. I can praise him looking dead at you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because my God is not limited. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to limit my praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, the prayer of praise. Hallelujah. Every day is that as they walk through the town, they said, what we're going to do is we're going to go near some water. Now, here's the reason why they went near the water and had church. Because in the Jewish law, 10 men actually make a church. So 10 men can actually make their own synagogue. So even if we was on the street and 10 Jewish men were together, that was a church.
Right.
Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to go no church where it's just me.
I can't. Say that, sir. Say that.
Nope.
Say that. Say that.
We need a woman's touch, my brothers. We need a woman's touch. I need to be able to smile and know that one of my sisters is in the kitchen busting something back. I need a woman's touch. There needs to be a woman's touch in the sanctuary, a woman's touch behind the pulpit. You need a woman's touch.
Amen. Amen.
The woman's touch makes the difference, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Y'all get quiet on me if you want to
know.
It makes a difference. And it really makes a difference.
Say that.
God is no respecter of persons anyway. Hallelujah.
Right.
So now what happens, right? As they get to the city, they go and they have church, and another reason why they wanted to have church by a body of water is always symbolism here, is because the Holy Spirit also represents water.
Right.
All right, so there's a lesson in everything in the Bible. So now what they do is, as they're walking, they're getting followed. And they're getting followed by a young lady named Lydia. Let me tell you about Lydia. Lydia was a hustler.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you better not sit up and wait for somebody to come and bring you some money, because that day ain't gonna never come. You better go out here legally and make a way for yourself.
Yes. Say that.
Mama may have, daddy may have, but God bless the child that God is on. Ain't that right, somebody?
Yes.
You better go out here and get it, and get it how you live. And so this woman was an independent woman. Where are my independent ladies? Are they independent people? Any independent people who had to do it by yourself because you didn't have no help? Any women here had to do that by yourself? Well, this is for you. Give God praise because you wasn't by yourself. Hallelujah. Because God was with you the whole time. Hallelujah. Give him praise for that. So now what happens, right, is that the woman is following them because she knows that there's something unique about them. Listen here. She noticed that these guys ain't trying to run no game. They're not trying to take her home. They're not trying to mack her. Y'all know all the words I'm using. Get quiet all you want. Ain't nobody doing none of that. Ain't nobody trying to invite her for no drink. These men are living the life.
Right, right. Come on.
The anointing is so heavy on both of them that they stopped her while she was making her money. Uh-huh. Listen here. If anything can stop you while you're making transactions, that's some powerful stuff. Like the anointing was so powerful that it actually made her stop in mid-transaction and say, what is it about these men? Whoa, that you should have so much God in you that people would want to follow you. That's the purpose.
Come on now.
This is why you got to be right.
Yeah.
This is why you got to talk right. This is why you got to do stuff right.
Yeah.
This is why you shouldn't have no scandals in no church.
Yeah.
This is why people need to talk to people right and do the right thing and set the right example. Take yourself to work. Educate yourself. Live a good life.
Yes.
Because somebody can be inspired by the life you live.
Right.
The goal is to get yourself and as many people into heaven as possible.
Right.
Go. Hallelujah. So now what happens is that she gets saved. And she says, listen here. I can't pay you for what you did for me. Because you introduced me to a God that embraces me.
Right.
I can't pay you for what you've done for me. You told me about a God who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You introduced me to the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. That she was among 10,000. I can't pay you for introducing me to Christ.
Right.
But what I can do is give you what I can. Y'all can stay at my house.
Come on now.
Ooh, boss move. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to take care of y'all.
Right.
And then when I'm finished taking care of y'all, I'm going to send y'all back out there to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes care of them for a few days. She gets saved. And they step off again. And as they step off, right, now they run into a demon.
Right.
Follow me here, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on with you.
Besides every breakthrough, there is a demon.
Yes.
Ooh,
Lord Jesus.
Behind every portal, there is a demon.
Right.
And the devil knows that he can't stop you, but he can distract you.
Right. Yes,
everybody, he can distract you. And what he'll do is he'll start throwing miscellaneous nonsense in stuff that you wouldn't even thought about, but he'll make you sensitive to it.
Right.
Like the way people look at you when you walk somewhere.
Come on, preacher.
Come on. Like somebody talking about you. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. If ain't nobody talking about you, and you ain't doing enough. Matter of fact, you better put some haters on your payroll. Hallelujah. Because haters will keep you praying. They'll keep you praising. They'll keep you laying on the floor prostrate. They'll keep you on point. Thank God for haters, hallelujah, because they now become my bigger inspirators. So now, right, they're watching, this devil, this demonic lady is watching them, but see, she's actually a fortune teller. Now, riddle me this here, ladies and gentlemen. You got to be careful with this type of stuff. Now, she dealt with astrology. Y'all gonna follow me here, like a horoscope, Let me, Christians, y'all got to be careful. Stop calling yourself Pisces and an Aries. That stuff is on the Greek pantheon of gods, in witchcraft, in divination, and familiar spirits. So the reason why they call it familiar spirits is because you're not supposed to be familiar with this stuff. Because every time you speak this stuff, you open a doorway where something can kind of get it. You ever wondered about, if you call yourself an Aries, right, why your life is so held by, oh, y'all are catching me here. You call yourself an Aries, right? And you want to know why your life is so jacked up? Because you just called yourself the god of war. Hallelujah. And in wars, people fight. Hallelujah. Be very, very careful. Because a lot of the days of the calendar, right, that we have, right, Like we have July, that's named after Julius Caesar. Y'all following me here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. August, his last name is Augustus. It's Augustus, right? October is named after Octavian, right? These were all devil worshippers / idol worshippers who ran Rome. So anytime you take and say, well, I'm an Aries and I'm a Pisces, you actually join them going to hell. You join them in their nonsense. So be very, very careful, because I warn Christians all the time. Listen, you opening up doors when you say that stuff, because behind every portals are open and doors open portals. Now portals are they're not seen, but you can actually feel a portal. This is why when you put your hand over your heart and you say the name of Jesus, don't it turn around right? Don't it make you feel good when you say his name? Hallelujah, don't it make you feel good? Hallelujah.
Yes.
There's a song that says something about the name Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It is the sweetest name on earth.
Yeah.
I dare you when you're going through to say his name. Hallelujah.
Right.
Because it's impossible to say God's name and he not show up. Hallelujah. I can call my brother. He won't show up. Hallelujah. I can call a friend. He may not show up. But it's impossible for me to call on my God and he not come see about me. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. So now what happens, as they move away from there, the lady follows them for days and days and actually says all the right stuff. She watches them, but it's not her, it's the demon actually testifying. See, listen here, I can't wait to get to church sometime. And the reason why I can't wait to church, go to church, I pray to God before I walk into a church that I want the atmosphere to be so full of the Holy Ghost that even the demon sitting on the front row will start shaking. That's what I pray. Hallelujah. And I feel his presence in here. Hallelujah. Do you feel his presence in here? Do you feel his presence in here? Do you feel his presence in here? Hallelujah. So now what happens, ladies and gentlemen, wait a minute. This is what happens, and this messed me up when I read it. So now what he does is Paul rebukes her. And you ask yourself, why would you rebuke somebody who's saying the right stuff? Because it ain't the right person. Sometimes it's not the message, it is the messenger. If you're called to be one of God's elect, right, just be that. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
If you're called to be a Christian. Hallelujah. If you're supposed to be following God, just follow God. Hallelujah. If you say you love him, follow him. Worship him. Be obedient to him. Do what he tells you to do. Love people. Hallelujah. Treat people right. Talk to people right.
Yes.
So now, what happens now is that he rebukes the lady. And as he rebukes her, the demon that was in her jumps out of her. So now what happens is that they kind of piss these two, they piss her handlers off.
Right.
Let me tell you why. Because this lady was actually fortune telling and making them money.
Oh.
So now what happens is that if she saved,
she can't make no money.
She can't make them no money. Listen here. I don't care how nice people are. You mess with somebody money.
Say that. That's the truth, sir.
You know how many people in Harlem Hospital cut right now over some money today? Walk down the corridor and say, where all the cut folk over money at? I bet you there's a whole wing of people who cut over money.
Yeah.
If you really want to try people, try and make a dollar.
Right.
So this is why when people talk all this stuff, or I love you, people love you till the time you put some money down.
Yeah.
People support you, right? Until you start asking them for money for the support. Money's the great equalizer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So now what happens, right? As I rush to a close, right? So now they move away, and so the people who were pimping her, they were cultic pimps, they're not mad because they can't make no more money. So they go to the police, Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna stay on this for a minute. Follow me here. They actually go to police, and the first thing that they say out of their mouth when they go to the police, ladies and gentlemen, is that they're Jews. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. As much as you would like to believe, I have to tell black Republicans this. As much as you like to believe that this country is different.
No, it's
not. And as much as you want to graham cracker your way around this gentleman, y'all follow me here.
Yeah.
Because you know there are black crackers, graham crackers. This country still has the same elements that probably these older gentlemen had to go through. Still has the same elements. So it just messes me up when people say, we ain't never been fighting like this. That's a lie. The country started because people start fighting. Civil War was a fight.
Yes.
Oh, Lord Jesus. World War I and II. And there's never been a war ever fought to free anybody.
Right.
Every war that's ever been fought has been over the dollar.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So now, right, as they run to the police now come. See, now I'm going to pause right here. My wife and I, My sister-in-law is married to a very, very nice Caucasian man. There was one day, and I'm learning, I'm telling you what I'm learning, because I grew up under the Selma clan. My mother taught me everything about Selma. I grew up, my father was a junior Panther, so I grew up on the other side. But I'm learning that all people are not the same.
Right.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
But I also keep my antennas up. Okay, y'all are catching me here. You might have your antennas up if you want to. So now what happens, right, is that we're on our way to Harlem. We're on our way downtown in Manhattan. And we're in a car. And it's me, my wife, my sister-in-law, and her husband. All right? Wonderful man. Nice man. We're in the car. And something happened with a state trooper. That's all I'm going to say. And the other people, you know I didn't say anything. The other people in the car are talking bad to the state trooper. So I whispered in their ear, I said, y'all better stop. Because he's looking dead at me. Y'all said I'm gonna cuss him out. He's looking at me. I'm the black man in this scenario, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to jail. I ain't even saying nothing. I got my headphones on listening to John P. Key. I ain't even talking, nothing. And I told him, y'all better stop. And from there, I got out the car. I took an Uber to Harlem. I came to Amy Rose. I said, y'all not gonna do that to me. I left all three of them. I had right in that room. I came in the room. Y'all not about to do that to me. New Jersey State Troopers? Y'all not about to do that to me. There's jail, and there's jail. They gonna take me to jail. Y'all better tighten up in this car. And he pulled up, and I put my Bible right on my thing, and I said, hello, sir. Like, I was there. Let nobody do that to me. And so don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that people are not still racially profiled, because they have these issues. This is one thing that I don't get about the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get along, because we got way more in common than we do different.
Right.
400 years of slavery, 576 for us in a period called the Miapa. Listen, right. We need to get together.
Right.
And as long as you can accept Jesus, listen, hey, come on.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So now what happens, right, moving forward, is that they got beat up. They got locked up. And they got thrown in a different kind of jail. And they're in this jailhouse with a whole bunch of people that are criminals. See, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, is, listen, serving God ain't easy. Oh, let me just stop here. Serving God comes with a price.
Yeah.
And it comes with a sacrifice. Yeah. And sometimes you're going to have to serve them alone.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. Being a Christian ain't easy. Because I got to say no when I really want to say yes.
Right. Right.
And I got to say yes when I really want to say no. Being a Christian ain't easy. Am I talking to a few people?
Say that, man. Yes, sir.
You ain't never cried so much since you became a Christian.
That's the truth.
You ain't never been bound up and hurt so much till you become a Christian.
That's the truth.
Being a Christian is hard. It's difficult. And one of the things that I do not understand is why good, bad stuff happens to good people. I don't even have an answer for that. Lord Jesus. Looking at the news, people, seeing people leave here. Listen, you end up scratching your head. Picking up the newspaper every day, and it seems like the whole paper's one long obituary.
Yeah.
Looking at the news, and the news looks like a horror story, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah, somebody. So now what happens is that they get beat up, and they got put in stocks. Stocks are when you kind of jammed up like this with your hands. And your neck is encased in hard wood. And you literally have to do this the whole night. And you have to hold your head up to get air. And they're in a jail, ladies and gentlemen. So they're in a part of the jail that even the jail is super, like they're in the part where the rats and stuff are. Where the dead bodies are, because they don't do process back then. So there's people who died sitting right up in the jail, almost like Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. That's a whole other story. And so, as they're in this jail, they could have a pity party, ladies and gentlemen, and they would have earned it. Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, when people invite you to a pity party, you turn down that invitation.
Right.
I turn it down every time. Because my God is too good for me to be pitiful about anything. And when it's his time, ladies and gentlemen, he gonna work it out if I just sit still. Because it's not my time. It ain't even my life, it's his life. And my life is in his hands. And if he done it before, ladies and gentlemen, Lord Jesus, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. If he lifted you up before, he's capable of doing it again. So while he's working it out, all I do is lift my hands and open my mouth.
Yes.
Can I tell you what I say? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Come on in here and say it with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I've taken a step forward. I will lift up my eyes to the hills of which cometh my help. Which made heaven and earth.
Yes.
I've taken another step further. No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yes.
So they make a conscious decision.
Oh, yes.
That we're going to open up our mouth and change everything.
Yes.
Oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, we ask God to move us or move us out of something. But what if I told you that you can actually move God?
Come on, preacher, say that there.
Hallelujah, somebody. Can I show you how? Stand flat-footed in the middle of his will with whatever you're going through and say, Lord, for God I live, for God I die. And watch him work it out. Sit in your chair right now and bless God. Now you can sit there and act like you ain't got no problems or you want to. For those of us living on earth, hallelujah, Lord. Get involved. I need you to save my family. I need you to protect my children. I need you to look out for my grandchildren. I need you to bless my hair. I need you to keep me alive.
Stuff
in these people, and until it grows, Hallelujah. And until it grows, hallelujah. Until it grows, hallelujah. I'm just going to stand there and watch, hallelujah. And when it grows, hallelujah, I'll celebrate with the people. So now what happens is that as they start shaking, the Bible says that the chains came off. I don't know about you, but 2019 was a bad one for me. And for some of us, 2020 feels almost the same. But what if I told you, if you lift him up, the chains are now a start. They're about to start falling off your hands. They're about to start falling off your pocket. The chains and stuff are coming off. I can actually hear it in the spirit. Let's lift him up, hallelujah. Let's the highest praise, hallelujah. I need the chains, Lord.